Bonjour, I am Sandrine, the founder and leader of the Golden Age Spiritual Ministry. Together, we learn about the embodiment of our multidimensionality so we can reclaim our full sovereignty in this beautiful reality. My High Council and I are happy to welcome you into our movement of spiritual revolution. Thank you for subscribing to this podcast. If you like this podcast, please share it so you can uplift humanity. Welcome everyone to this conversation with Nick. I'm super excited. Thank you so much for joining. Thank you everyone for watching now live or on the replay. And I've met Nick recently. I met her from my beautiful friend, Carissa. And I felt like I knew you before meeting you because, of course,
yeah. I was
raving about you all the time. And Carissa is Nick's beautiful partner. And I had the chance to meet you in person when I came last time. And we had all of these amazing conversations in your house. And I was really blown away by you. Like, literally, I already knew that I would love you. And our conversations would be amazing. And I really wanted to have you on this summit because you touch on a subject of conversation that can be a bit ignored, or if it's not ignored, it can be a bit challenging for some people to really open the doors, because you work with sexuality, understanding of sexuality, and you'll be able to share more in detail everything that you do. And as I was talking with you and Carissa, I was really mind blown by the level of knowledge that you have around, first of all, like conscious sacred sexuality, but also consent and working with the body and all somatic experiences and creating beautiful also temples to be able to experience things that we might not be experiencing in our everyday vanilla life. I was really really impressed because when Carissa started talking to you, about you to me before we met in person, she also told me, oh, you really need to do this test, babe. It's like to find your erotic blueprint. It's a bit like the five love languages.
Yeah,
like sexual languages. And so of course me, you just mentioned like a test online, I'm like, okay, let's do it.
Yeah,
and it really blew my mind because it allowed me to understand my own sexuality more. And yeah, I ended up joining the online course with these people, but then I met you, and the amount of knowledge and embodied practices that you have is just mind-blowing. And I absolutely love to attend one of your temples in Australia one day, and hopefully to bring you to New Zealand as well. Be able to help you with. So please tell us more about what you do.
What an introductory. I was like, where do you even start from there? Wow. Thank you. Thank you for inviting me. Thank you for having me. Thank you for even opening this conversation up to like your audience and all those out there that are watching right now. Hello, I'm Nick. Nice to meet y'all. yeah, so for me, this sort of found me, I guess. You know, I have found, like you said, the more that you delve into these realms, the more that you start to look at certain aspects of your life, like intimacy and sexuality and relationships and stuff like that, you start to unravel so much and, you know, really bring light to a lot that's potentially been denied or suppressed or repressed, you know. And so for me, I feel like sexuality has been easeful to speak to, but not necessarily to, you know, embody. And so I've sort of gone through this journey, I guess, of unraveling, you know, what it means to be liberated in your sexuality, but also really embodied in that as well. So it's really easy to understand things informationally, but then when you're in an experience, to then really stay embodied in that and to not reflexively respond or go into one of your autonomic nervous system responses. You know, for me, I grew up in a household that was quite tumultuous and safety wasn't always available. There was a lot of like alcohol abuse and physical abuse and stuff like that. And so I learned really quickly how to adapt to that. And so I was hypervigilant, and my nervous system response was predominantly like fawn or freeze. So I learned really quickly how to appease others, but not really know how to actually speak to what my needs were and know what my needs were and how to meet that. And then to then ask someone else or ask another to meet me in that. And so for me, it's been, like I said, a story of unraveling and really getting to understand this for myself so that I can be authentic in intimacy. I can be, you know, authentic in my sexuality, and that it's not driven by some hidden agenda or motive and have really leaky energy. And so, yeah, every time I've sort of been just refining what that is and what that looks like for me. And so, yeah, it's expanded my capacity and knowledge. And so now I'm sort of offering these spaces where people can come and explore that so that they can sort of eliminate some of the shame and the taboo around their sexuality and their desires and their fantasies, and sort of offer a playground for people to play and explore that. And so, yeah, that's sort of a little bit about what I do and why I came to be there. But yeah, it's juicy. I love it. I feel like it's so much fun, and yeah, I'm so here to and play in all of it. So
I love that, because your work is very practical as well, like holding temple, having people in actual physical places, experiencing things, witnessing things that have never experienced before, and feeling how that feels for them in the body if they shut off, or on the other hand, if they are being turned on by things that they think they should be not turned on by, which yeah. is around this kink. So yeah, I can, I don't mind saying this to the world, but when I did this erotic test, I found that I was a shapeshifter. So basically it's all of them, but with a predominance of kink, and kink is the exploration of taboos, isn't it? Yeah. And I was a little bit shocked because I had never thought of that. It was not really much part of my experience. I've always known that I was feeling quite liberated, but yet I had, and I still have, between you and I, and everything, huge list of like desires that have never been manifested. It kind of like, as I was identifying as a monogamous, you know, heterosexual woman, these were the list of things that just, I don't even know why I would have this desire. So I just like, they are like far back in that corner, completely yeah. unattended, because you know, like I've got to do all the other things like work and the kids, and you're explaining all of that, but yet sexual desires, they were literally left under a shelf to collect dust. So to me, like allowing myself to bring that into my awareness was a really like a huge shift. And now it's like, how do we move from that first realization that being able to honor all our desires is the first step, but then how do we move into the actual breaking free from maybe one way of experiencing our sexuality? It's like, am I bisexual? Maybe not. Do I want polygamy? Am I monogamy? And so I really changed a lot and really kind of deconstructed a lot of my own way of thinking to now finding my way back into what it is that I truly desire. But I would guess that you come across all sorts of people that come from all walks of life, and that most likely with the world that we live in, it's like nearly all of us, we had to break free from conditioning. From all of these thoughts that, oh, like I shouldn't, you know, go and act that way. And then some people, they have been able to really embrace like new ways of experiencing their sexuality, which therefore also activate so much more pleasure and joy and abundance and empowerment and all the things in life.
Yeah. And that's one thing that I love about the erotic blueprints too, is because first of all, you know, sometimes we don't know what it is that we want. And so I love that they give you context. So it sort of shows you how to feed yourself. So that's what they call it in like the erotic blueprints. She calls it feeding your erotic blueprint. And so it shows you multiple ways to feed certain aspects of yourself so that it becomes normal. You know, you might have been like, for me, I'm an energetic sensual with quite a bit of kink as well. But for me, I feel like there's so much crossover between each of those, because I feel like energetic and sensual are very similar in a lot of ways, and so is sensual and kink. Like kink can be extremely sensual. And so I feel like for me, it was like finding what that looks like for me with the context of what that might look like. And so that's where I feel like for me, sexuality is a playground. It's figuring out what works for you and what doesn't. And sometimes you don't know what you don't know. And so it's just like, oh, maybe I'll try that. And then how does your body respond to that? Is that a yes or is that a no? Maybe it's just not right now. So we're just going to put it to the back for now and just like, yeah, really explore those edges, but in a way that feels like safe, you know, in a way that feels good. Because if we try too much too hard, we're just going to dysregulate our nervous system and it's not actually going to be supportive, and we're going to think that it's that thing, but actually our body just doesn't have the capacity to jump from where we were in the monogamous, you know, whatever it was, relationship before, to like a full polyamorous relationship, you know, like, oh, that's just too big a jump. And so it's just like titrating in just little by little by little, what feels good, what feels safe, and just playing in those rounds, you know. And so I have all these kink props, but it's like I find a way to explore them in a way that is sensual, that feeds my sensual, you know. Even though, so I'm still playing in the realms of kink and sort of like a little bit on the edges of what could be perceived to many people as taboo, but it's not like some of that like knife play or needle play or any of those types of like medical play kinks. They're on like the other side of the spectrum that I'm just like, that's just not what my body resonates with. And that's, I guess that's the beauty of like playing in this realm of like, oh, what feels good for me, what resonates for me, and like, I guess just understanding that and not necessarily judging everything else in between or beyond that. So yeah, I feel like the erotic blueprints is such a beautiful place to start, because before I knew I was an energetic, I actually thought there was something wrong with me. Yeah. I thought that there was something wrong with me, because for me to open fully and be really available for any like form of penetration or like, I guess like going like further into like intimacy, I really need like light feathery touch, like all over my body. And I just sort of stumbled across it by accident with like a former partner in my early 20s that like that was actually available. Yeah. And so that's what they would do. They would run their fingers over me and I was like, I would melt. I'd be like, oh my God, this is the best thing I've ever experienced in my whole entire life. But no one else, I didn't know that that's what I needed. And in other relationships, I didn't know how to ask for that. I didn't know how to get that part of me fed. And so it wasn't until I stumbled across the erotic blueprints and they're like, this is, you know, light feathery touch is something that that particular blueprint needs. I was like, oh my God, yes, there's nothing wrong with me. And then it's like, cool, now I know what to ask for. Like, this is what I need in order to feel open. This is what I would really love to explore with you. Like, what is it that you like? Because we're all so different as well. That's the thing. Like, you know, you may be kink and I may be like essential. And it's like, well, what is it that I need to open? And what is it that you need to open? And how can we meet in that? You know, how can we explore that together and not try to mold one another into what it is that we want? It's like, how can we both get fed in this experience? So, yeah.
I love that because it's really like really the embodiment of a multidimensionality or multifaceted personality. Because as you say, when I did not know with most of my life about that, and then you have all of these things that happen to you or like you think about, and then you want to place yourself into a box, and it's just think like there's something wrong with me for wanting this, there's something wrong with me for reacting like that. I love this conversation because it's really like always it's coming back to knowing ourselves. And I find that we live in a society, even in a lot of like spiritual, you know, groups and realms, you know, where I evolve a lot, is like we don't really talk about sexuality. It's just, oh, we talk about it, but there's this one frame that's really promoted, which is, oh, the divine union with your beloved. And it's like a man and a woman, and you see them, and no, yes, no, we accept, maybe it's two men, maybe it's two women, but it's still kind of like, this idea. And now that I find like the world is changing very, very fast, there are all these subjects of conversation that are opening up, and people can be really fiery at times into projecting their own perception of what is right, what is wrong, what is moral, what is immoral. And there is a lot of conversation to have on this subject to open up our heart to acceptance, accepting that other people have their on things going and they can just experience pleasure and life just the way they want. And for me, it's going to be different. What is it that I want? If I'm basically fulfilled in my own sexuality, my own expression of self in any way, shape or form in all that I do, then I'm not going to bother to criticize other people because I know what fulfillment is. So like good on other people for feeling their own fulfillment. So I find it's really to me, like you are a leader because you are literally opening doors, breaking walls down in a subject that is still taboo in so many ways, because there is a lot of reconciliation that needs to happen. Because also a lot of us, we have been wounded to an extent, you know, sexually. And it's both men and women. We have been wounded with projections from others, from actual, you know, trauma to our bodies. And we don't put onto any ladder or anything like that, because the trauma is a trauma for anyone that has experienced it when it comes to deep intimacy. And that stays imprinted in the body. And then we end up clothing. And then we die, the old lady with three cats that never had sex for 40 years because she didn't know how to deal with her shit. I don't want that to happen to me. You share your wisdom.
Also, if that's your path, if you're an 8-year-old lady with three cats, good on you.
I have one cat, I would not do that.
Yeah, I know what you mean though. It is like, you know, you're constantly seeing, and I even see it in my own family, you know, this like deep conditioned way of being and what intimacy has to look like. And if it's not that, then it's got to be something else. You know, that must be wounding. That must be that must be da 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 da. Insert your own story and narrative around that. And there's just such a limited perception or lens in which, you know, people are willing to see through. And I feel like for me, that also has to do with safety, you know, like that's because that feels safe for them, because anything outside of that then would mean that they would then have to take responsibility themselves and move beyond that. And so I feel like for many, it's like, nah, that's what you're doing is wrong. And I'm just going to stay in my bubble, even if I'm miserable and not sexually fulfilled, because I'm seeing through this lens and this filter because that's safe for me. And so I get it. I'm like, yep, okay, perfect. But I feel like, you know, we're coming into a place now where people really are opening up and expanding. And I feel like, you know, the stuff that I'm facilitating and offering, like, I feel like this is ancient. Like, this isn't just a new thing that's happening. It's been made taboo for a reason. And so it's just like reintroducing what's a normal and like what is actually available if we allow it. But there's a deep vulnerability because of that wounding, because, you know, we've been hurt so many times. It's like there's so many layers that are there. And it's like, you know, to open that up, to come into that, like, is, you know, takes a lot of time, a lot of presence, and can feel deeply vulnerable. And for a lot of people, it just feels like too much. And so it's easier to stay where they are as opposed to keep leaning in and keep meeting yourself and understanding, oh, what is my nervous system doing? How is my nervous system reacting to this other person's nervous system, you know? And like, you know, understanding how it reflexively responds and how to then create that inner relationship so that you can keep showing up in relationship with another. Because that's essentially what a relationship is like, first of all, is like, what is your relationship with yourself? And then how do you then come into relationship with another? And then what happens there? Where is the invitation, you know, to sort of move through those layers and to expand into something else beyond that? Whether it's intimately or sexually or verbally, you know, like it's all one and the same.
Yeah, I love that. That's just so mind-blowing. Everything that you share, I love it so much. And I really love your ability to balance the knowing that you have about what it is that you need to feel safe and to feel turned on, and also the way that you can communicate with your partner about that, and to extend the invitation of, you know, meeting your desires while she also meets her own needs to feel safe, to feel heard. So it's kind of like being able to express what we feel and how we want to experience something, maybe like a new sexual desire, or maybe explore with other people. Because I see a lot of people in monogamous relationship that terrified that their partner are going to cheat and things like that. And I really witnessed the lack of communication, the lack of awareness of true sexual desires. And so it is very important for me to be able to create a safe space where people can both communicate the desires without feeling that they're instantly attacked and judged by the other party for having these desires in the first place, because that's actually traumatizing to express a desire to someone and then the other person is like, oh, you know, like there's something wrong with you. It means that you don't love me, that you don't respect me, or like you're crazy, or you're sick, you're disgusting, you're gross, or whatever. Yeah. So I'd love to know how, like if our listeners here and on the replay have this part of themselves that they would like to express to their partner, how they can they do that in a way that's going to be safe for them, that they're going to feel safe, that they're going to have their own back, and to be able to, you know, also hold the other person and their own reaction to upgrade that communication. Do you have any wisdom that you'd like to share on that?
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, well, I feel like there's multiple ways in which you could navigate that. So I feel like, again, having that inner relationship, that relationship to self, and really sort of knowing what your needs are and what your desires are and where they come from, I feel like is a big part as well. And sort of being able to hold yourself in the face of another. So irrespective of how someone else reacts and responds to you, it's like you have that understanding of, hey, this is a need or a want or a desire of mine, you know, and making the request to fulfill that or play that out, or just to speak that into existence, because even that in and of itself can be challenging, you know, just admitting, hey, this is a thing that I want or desire. I've got no idea why I want it, but I'm just like really feeling this right now. And so like that can be edgy for others. So I guess just like really doing some self-inquiry really is what allows you to have the capacity. And then when you offer it to someone else, one thing that we do, an exercise that we do in Temple, which is around rejection and receiving a no, is understanding that the other person is simply looking after themselves. So what we say is someone makes a request and the other person says no, thank you. And the other person responds with thank you for looking after yourself. And so I feel like when we have that sort of like perception of like whoever the other person responds to my request is not personal. You know, that is literally them navigating in their own process around what this is. And so, you know, if they've internalized a lot themselves, they've shamed themselves a lot, then naturally, or they are unable to make requests for themselves, instantly what's going to come up is shame. Or they're going to be like, so they're going to project that onto the other person and make the other person wrong. Because of their own process. So if someone can understand their desires and their needs and their wants, and then in making that request, understanding that how someone responds to that is not personal, that they had a responsibility to themselves to, you know, own that or speak to that or to fulfill that, but the other person doesn't have a requirement to meet them in that. That's not their responsibility. And so just like, I guess understanding that is like a way of like, I guess, sort of navigating the dynamic and really like not personalizing it, but also really like owning what's yours and what's your responsibility within that sort of assists in, I guess, the communication and just speaking to that. Because, you know, your partner might not be the one to meet you in that, but they also might not know that that's been a request of yours and might be like, well, you know, that could open up a whole conversation of someone that could meet that request, you know, and maybe a massage therapist, or it may could be a professional dom, or whatever the request is, you know, if it's done in a way that feels like true and authentic, like your partner isn't the one that has to meet you in that, but there's a way in which you can navigate that dynamic or that situation in order to support yourself and potentially meeting it yourself, or yeah, getting someone else to meet it. So yeah,
I love what you share there. It's very powerful because it really comes back to like this, when we can express what it is that we want, it is empowering in itself already, like voicing our truth. And we have explored many subjects during this this summit already, and it's really come back to the this idea that we are a unique expression of God, of the source. We have therefore unique desires, and then we need to be able to follow our heart desires to be able to step into a higher reality, to be more fulfilled. But it is somehow easier to look into the desire to have a lot of money, because everyone wants more money. This is like generalized, I want more money, me too. And everyone wants to have a fulfilling relationship. But then when we talk about, oh, I really want to have an amazing freaking sex life, it's just like, whoo, whoo, whoo. So many, you know, circles could still giggle or like place things that, oh, that doesn't need to be addressed yet. That can wait, because first I need to have a lot of money, I need to be a great mom, and I need to do all of these things for my mom, I need to be a good daughter. And like somehow I find it quite easy for people to put their sexuality and their desires around the sexuality, you know, like, yeah, on a shelf to collect dust, because it is easier than entering in challenging conversations with a partner, because it could rock the relationship. But it is the same for everything. You want to come out of any kind of closet, you know, like gender identity, sexuality, like kinky closet or like cosmic closet. I talk to aliens, like good to do it. So at a certain point, otherwise it's like a part of ourselves dies slowly. You know, it's like it becomes extinguished and we don't realize our full potential as human beings. And I truly believe that we are incarnated in a physical body because we are here to experience the pleasures in life. And sexual pleasure is a huge part of being a human, because you can also awaken so many things around like chakra system and energy and magnetism and juiciness. And so when we are sexually satisfied, it's like we open up a vortex of magnetism, we become this magnetic being, and then we can really call in a lot more into our vortex. So I really love the work that you do, because you're helping people tap into that, and also in the ability of receiving. So when I was talking more with Carissa and my friends in Melbourne and learning more about all of that, I was really fascinated with the dynamic with between dom and sub, dominant and submissive. And it was bringing so much to the surface for me in terms of submissive woman is wrong, because we have fought for our rights for so long, you know, we were brutalized sexually. And it was really amazing to have these conversations with, you know, all of my friends in Melbourne, and to follow podcasts and really listen about that, because there's a lot of misunderstanding around really what the role play is, and what really the journey is as experiencing, you know, being a submissive in a sacred temple. Would you like to talk more a little bit about that? Can resonate, yeah. Because to me it really opens the ability to simply receive and completely let go, and it can be huge recalibration for the nervous system.
Yeah, for sure. There's so much healing in kink and BDSM, and I feel like that's why people sort of are like really unsure about it, but there's also this deep curiosity as well, because to really understand the dynamics, like it involves a lot of, well, what I feel is like deep understanding and research behind who's responsible for what. And so safety is a massive piece when it comes to exploring the realms of submission and domination. And so part of the prerequisite to our temple is we touch on the fundamental basics of Betty Martin's work, The Wheel of Consent. So yes. I don't know if anyone's sort of heard of Betty Martin's work before, The Wheel of Consent. I highly, highly recommend starting there. Because it really allows you to understand what agreements are and what you're agreeing to, who's responsible for what, who's taking, who's allowing, who's giving, who's receiving, who's serving, who's allowing. And so when we can really set that up for ourselves, when we have an embodied knowing of that, and when we make really clear agreements on what the space is and isn't, then we open ourselves up to play. We open ourselves up to actually allowing ourselves to play in the realms of submission and domination, because without that agreement in place, it's not conscious. It's not a conscious act. It's not a conscious agreement. It's boundaries are crossed, boundaries are pushed, re-traumatization can happen. And so I feel like that, the unconscious kink, is the reason why our bodies constrict at the idea of playing in those realms, because it means that if I'm submissive, someone's going to have power over me and I'm going to be powerless. But that's not actually the case. You have a responsibility to uphold your own boundaries when you are playing in those realms with another person. And often that's why a lot of people won't play in that realm, because they don't know their own boundaries. They don't know how to say no or stop, or that's too much, or, you know, and or a safe word, and don't know how to use their voice. You know, for me, it's easy for me to be in that sort of like dominant role. But for me, it's edgy to be submissive. Like, it's really edgy to be submissive, because I don't trust myself. I don't trust myself to not fawn and pretend that I like something when I actually don't like it. And when my body is like, stop, 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 I go into freeze, and I lose that inability to use my voice. And so unless I know that the person that I am playing with can hold themselves so fully that they can like tell, or they're constantly checking in with me just to see, like, is this okay for you? Like, are you good? Because sometimes in that, I feel safe enough to speak. But without that, I don't feel safe. And so I don't trust myself to use my voice in those instances. So I'm more likely to sort of take on that more dominant role than I am that submissive role, because I'm learning how to create that inner safety and that inner trust. And that's the beauty of what kink offers, because you play in the realms that you don't necessarily play in outside of that, and it plays out in other distorted ways. And so, like, the shadow of allowing, which is like to tolerate, to be passive, you know, the victim, like, that's the shadow of allowing. And then the shadow of take, which would be someone in that more sort of dominant role, even though they are giving and you're receiving, is like rape, violence, you know, like assault. And so, you know, we're used to the shadow realms, you know, outside of the agreement, like outside of consent. And so when we can really understand ourselves and understand the dynamics and how they play out, then we can set really clear agreements. Like, I know that my trauma response is freeze fawn, so I'm going to need you to check in with me. So I know that I've learned that about myself, and I don't make that wrong. I just know that that's how my body reflexively responds. And so I can say to someone, hey, if we're going to interact like this, I'm going to need you to check in every now and again just to make sure that I'm okay, or ask me if I need you to go slower, because sometimes I'm not going to be able to say what I actually want to say, and it'll take me a little bit to build up the courage to say that. And so that's like the beauty of understanding the wheel of consent, is because you get to know yourself on a much deeper level so that you can open yourself up to play in those dynamics. Because yeah, without that, there's no safety. Like, for me personally, I feel like there's no safety. And so, yeah, it's such a huge part of what I do and offer, and is sort of like the foundational piece of where we start and how we set the tone of any of the spaces that I run. So yeah, it's such a big piece. And what has you be able to open up to, like, play in the realms of submission and domination. Yeah.
I love that, Nick. So every temple that you create, it's always starting with, it's quite a couple, yeah. Is it an hour or two? Yes, with the wheels of consent. And so you explain that in depth on how to feel that and how to know that, how to express that. So then when you move into like the embodiment within the temple space, you already have that foundation to be able to navigate what is unfolding.
Yeah, for sure. And it just really, it's just really beautiful because like when we teach this work, a lot of people haven't heard this before. And so they're like, what do you mean? Because like, you know, in most heteronormative relationships, sort of the man's here thinking that he's giving to his partner and she's actually here because she doesn't want anything that he's giving. So no one's actually receiving in that dynamic. And that's where a lot of resentment and a lot of frustration shows up in relationships because no one's actually receiving. He's over here thinking that he's given her everything that she wants. She's actually just like laying back and letting him do whatever she wants. There's no conversation. No one's meeting anyone's needs in that. And no one's actually receiving. And so, yeah, that's where resentment builds because they're like, but I'm giving you all of the stuff. And the person's like, I don't want any of that. Like, that's actually not what I want. But then they're so disconnected from their own body. They don't know what it is that they do want. They just know that that's not what they want. So, yeah, so you can see the recalibration that happens in people's systems. Like, this lands somatically in the body because they're just like, oh fuck
yes. Dissociate or to pretend that, or like to fake an orgasm so it can be over and I can finally get on with my night and fall asleep or like eat the guy or whatever. It's like I don't have to pretend, I don't have to lie, I don't have to allow. I can be in full control and be like a freaking queen that can give and receive what she needs and what she wants in co-creation with the partner that we are
playing.
It's extremely powerful. And I love everything that you share, and I can feel how potent that becomes when we can experience that in the safe intimacy of the bedroom. Then how can that have a ripple effect into our everyday life? Because then if we know more how to speak exactly what it is that we like and that we dislike, knowing that the other person holds themselves responsible for their own reaction, so like that really we need to be able to express what we want in life in general and also say like this is a no, I don't want this, I don't like this, and it's nothing to do against you. And also as you were sharing, the ability to receive, you know, like putting that in parallel, so many people, they want, you know, they want the money, they want the lifestyle, so they want to receive, but when it comes to their body and intimacy, just like the most fundamental of our physical incarnation, it's like we were created through sex, you know, and sex perpetuates life, and our inability to actually see that if we are sexually frustrated, meaning that if we don't explore what really turn us on and how to create more intimacy, more communication with our partner, then it's going to be really hard to open up our capacity to receive in other areas of our lives because that is already completely locked up. So like lower chakra is completely locked up and we don't know exactly how to open up. So starting there can actually be a lot of fun to bring the balance back into in experiencing more of who we are and what we are here to experience, because it's so much more than just these few things that we think are necessary to be like an enlightened being, you know. It's very important.
Yeah, 100%. And the descent into the body sometimes is challenging, you know, and so that's why a lot of people just avoid it, because to really actually like be with all of the sensations available within their body and to really feel that and to open up like and really let down those walls and let down those guards, you know, it's so overwhelming for a lot of people. And so people sometimes want to stay up here and in the higher realms and that higher consciousness because it feels fucking good. Like, you know, sometimes when we have to descend back into the body, it's like, wow, this is a fucking lot. And so, yeah, a lot of people are like, maybe we'll just stay here a little bit longer. We won't have to like try to integrate the two and like because yeah, it feels like work sometimes, you know, like you know, doing the work. I wish we had another name for it, because work feels like, even just that, I just don't like the name for it, but that's what it feels like at times, you know. It's challenging to meet those places and those edges, and constantly facing off with the part of yourself that just needs presence, that needs deep nourishment, that needs, you know, to be, for you to be okay with all of it, so that you actually can open up to intimacy with another person, you know, and be available for what that's inviting you into. And so, yeah.
That is so powerful. I really love how you can bring depth into this world that you are leading, like really, like you're bringing people into this world and you are helping them to feel safe and to open up this box. And there's just so many things that come up, and we can really experience profound transformations on all levels. So if people wanted to know more about you or come to some of your temples, so do you have anything planned in Australia? Because at the moment you operate exclusively in Australia, hopefully New Zealand.
Yeah, we'll go on tour eventually, yeah. Yeah, at the moment I'm just on the Sunshine Coast. So, well, I live in Victoria now, but the community that I built was on the Sunshine Coast. And so I fly up there to run events. We have Eros Erotic Temples, which is every 2 months. So the next one is September the 9th. However, I'm running another event on the 12th of August, which is like, it's a little bit safer than temple. Temple is like where we do the prerequisite, and then we go into the partnered facilitated exercises where we really sort of be in the curiosity of like what's available with communication and intimacy, and what's our yeses, what's our nos, like what does that feel like, the traffic light system, like all of these tools and techniques to support you in relating with other people. And then we go into like an open play space, and so that can be really intimidating for a lot of people, even though there's amazing spaces set up and lots of different things that you can play in and explore, like for a lot of people that feels like really intense and really intimidating, which I can fully understand and appreciate. And so this event that I'm going to run in August is like a journey through the senses. And so we're going to be looking at like erotic eating and like sensual play, like sensory deprivation. So, you know, like eliminating one of the senses where it's like blindfold or restraint, whatever it is, and just really bringing in that sensual sort of sensory play, and then playing with food, and then a soundscape, and like all these different things that sort of just like, I guess for me feels like big kid playground, you know, of like, oh, what's actually available, like how can we awaken this life force energy that's within us and play in the realms with other people, like-minded people. And so yeah, I'm pretty excited about this one. It's going to be really juicy. So, but I would like to bring them to Wellington. Is it Are you in Wellington? Yeah, Wellington and Victoria as well. So we'll be starting some stuff up in Victoria as well. I'm sort of finding my way here still. So yeah, but there's more to come. But I'm also sort of coming out online as well, which has been a very slow process for me, but I've also, it's been essential for me to do it in a way that feels safe for my nervous system, and really like titrate into that and go really slowly, because you know, I've been adrenaline dominant my whole life and just charged and like pinging off adrenaline, and you know, I really burnt out doing that and deconditioning and all of those yummy things. And so it's been really important for me to go really slowly with that and just really honoring the process. But I feel like I have the capacity now, and so I'm slowly getting myself out there one-on-one as well. So you can find me many other ways. It doesn't just have to be in person on the Sunshine Coast, but if you are on the Sunshine Coast, please. Yes.
It makes me remember something that I had read, that you know, there are many ways into, you know, reaching our highest path and our highest ascension journey and so on. And one of the most powerful ways is in the body through sacred sexuality, and reading the ancient scriptures and going more into channeling. And the things that I do is like how Jesus Christ and Mary Magdalene actually were practicing divine sacred sexuality and tantra and all of these things together to be able to activate the energetic body, the car body, that allowed them to become ascended masters and for Jesus went on the cross to actually liberate his body from flesh. And it was through the activation of the sexual energy as in this divine partnership. And of course, all the work that they did, like breath work, you know, being pretty bad as humans and so on, but it was like fully integrated in the body, in their sexuality, fully present there. And to me, that's really the most accessible path, because being a monk in a cave is not for many people, actually. Otherwise, we would already be there, kind of.
Not my dharma. Yeah.
For most of humanity, we are here to be, you know, with people, to procreate, to have kids, to be in partnerships, and so on. And so it means that being connected to our sexuality is there already. Like, our souls say yes to that. So to be able to find great levels of inner peace and empowerment and fulfillment, it is to say, okay, like, let's explore that the area of my life that I might not have explored before, and see how can that up level everything else, and just bringing like amazing pleasure. You know, like, you don't want to watch Netflix as often with your partner. You know, I was also in long-term relationship like that, when in the end it's just like, oh, kids in bed, Netflix, quick sex, sleep, and then repeat. Days after days, it's like, oh.
Monotonous, yeah, 100%.
Yeah, it's like the way you share, it's like bringing so much communication. It's like the two partners look at each other and they create these vortexes of giving and receiving, and it's just so amazing. Yeah,
for sure. Yeah, you definitely feel more inspired to show up as a partner when you're fed, and obviously they do as well, when they're being fed as well, because, you know, it's just like there's so much room to play, and it's just like you feel so much more fulfilled intimately. Like, it doesn't even need to be penetration, it doesn't even need to feel like, you know, these sort of old, what I call pathways to pleasure, but it's just like finding new pathways to pleasure. Like, you don't even need to have sex in that sort of old conditioned way, or like, that's just as fun and yum, just put it out there. But it's like there's so many other ways to meet one another, and you feel inspired to keep showing up in the relationship with the other person, because there's so much of you being fed physically, emotionally, like, you know, on all levels. And so, yeah, I feel like for me, it makes me a better partner. And the byproduct of that is, like, you know, I also, and they also, get to have much better fucking sex. And so my orgasms are so much better and so much more embodied. And it's not, you know, just like solely based down there, you know, like, it's like my whole body becomes like a sex organ. And so, yeah, it's definitely a different way of relating than what I was used to, but yeah, it's so much more beautiful and expansive. So yeah,
this is so amazing. Yeah. I love this. I love this conversation with you, Nick. That's so potent. I would love to attend one of your temple. It is there. Yeah, it happen at some stage. And I thank you so much, you know, for joining and really opening up the conversation to exploring more about our sexuality. And Thank you very much for being there. Thank you so much, everyone, for watching. Thank you for watching on the replay.
Thank you. Have a magical day, everyone.
Thank you. I'll see you later, friend.
Bye.
We hope you enjoyed this transmission. Please share it around with your friends. As you do so, you weave webs of divine light around the planet. Together we rise, creating a new golden age of miracles. We were born free. Reclaim the power within.